cybercrime, macroeconomic conditions, ESG reporting. You can't predict the future, but you can prepare for it. By understanding your risk, you can make your business resilient to challenges on the road ahead. What's more, you can turn those risks into opportunities. EY helps CFOs, boards, and audit committees see beyond the numbers to uncover the critical insights that make their organizations resilient, even in an ever-shifting landscape. For more insights that matter, visit ey.com/beyondthenumbers.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic from Bloomberg Radio.
A guest very well known to our Bloomberg audience. We want to welcome Cathy Wood back with us. She's Chief Executive Officer, Chief Investment Officer, founder of ARK Investment. She joins us on the phone in Connecticut. And, you know, Cathy, we figured out so much in terms of tech and innovation, but when it comes to a Zoom call and getting video, it doesn't always work.
Oh, I know. But I think we've come a long way, Carol, right?
We've come a long way.
Who would have believed? Yes.
So listen, got to ask you about the trade today. We really felt like earlier that the speculative trade, the euphoric trade when it comes to technology was over. What do you make initially of the pullback that we saw today?
Well, what I've been surprised by over the last really 4 or 5 months is cyclicals and value stocks have started to outperform the broad-based market indices. And the surprise to us is that we and our innovation strategies at ARK outperformed as well. That's very unusual. So the way I have interpreted that is that the market is broadening out. The bull market is broadening out, which is a very healthy development. I think what we've seen in the last few days, the correction in technology, is perhaps, you know, rotational. Again, value, given how many years value has underperformed, there could be a bit of rotation back into value. If you understand our portfolios, you'll be very careful where you go in terms of the value space, because disruptive innovation, the likes of which we have not seen in more than 100 years, is probably going to hurt a lot of value sectors more than growth sectors.
So what are you doing on a day like today? Are you buying? I mean, the NASDAQ was down almost 4% today.
Yes.
Tesla was down significantly. Did you buy?
Oh, yes. And we publish our trades at the end of every day. So you will see them. The market's closed. We bought a lot of Tesla today across any strategy that holds Tesla. And we will be publishing in a few weeks a report updating our thoughts about Tesla, our excitement about the potential of a ride-hailing service as a bridge to an autonomous service, and the higher odds that autonomous is going to happen for Tesla. And part of the reason for the higher odds is now that Waymo is on the road autonomously, we know it can be done. Tesla has so much more data than Google or anyone else or everyone else combined that we think it's in the pole position.
Well, it's interesting too, you know, it's funny, Kathy, people, you know, expecting you to be on, and they were sending us tons of questions, you know, this whole idea of the treasure trove of data that Tesla has specifically, you talk about it a lot, you know, do other people believe it? Are you seeing other, you know, people kind of put that out as kind of one of the fundamental reasons that you want to own Tesla? It's not just a car company, right? It's a technology company. It's a battery company. Is that thesis of it being a data company getting a lot more recognition?
We do not think many analysts or investors are giving Tesla credit for autonomous. If they were, the stock would be a lot higher. What we do think they're giving Tesla credit for increasingly is, you know, its electric vehicle franchise and how far ahead of the competition Tesla is when it comes to battery technology, to artificial intelligence, both in the form of a chip, through the data collection. We think 30 billion plus miles compared to Google's 30 million-ish miles, and still over-the-air software updates to change performance. It's remarkable that more are not on board, even the last one yet. So I think its franchise has legs here.
So how does that translate into market value for Tesla? How much more opportunity is there? How much more opportunity is left for this run-up to continue?
Well, I'll give you a sense of, and this is from our Big Ideas 2021. You can get that on our site, arc-invest.com. We believe that the autonomous market, so the ride-hailing market, but autonomous, will be a $7 trillion revenue opportunity. And right now, the ride-hailing companies, human-driven ride-hailing, their market cap probably cumulatively is around $200 billion globally. If we're right, Tesla is in the pole position in the United States to become the autonomous taxi network. Autonomous is going to submit to natural geographic monopolies. So in the U.S., our confidence in Tesla has gone up the more we understand about autopilot and the more data it's 1 to 1.5 million robots out there, including my Model 3, are collecting to inform its artificial intelligence engine. So that $6 to $7 trillion market, we think, is going to be more in the developed world, ironically, than in the emerging markets in terms of value. For reasons we can get into, if you would like. So the U.S. could be a third to a half of that market. So think about that, $3.5 trillion opportunity, and it's going to be more of a monopoly than I think most investors and analysts understand right now.
Kathy, I want to go back to kind of bigger, broader market today for a moment, if I can, because you've talked a lot about the reflation trade and how rising rates and a rotation to value, that this could be a challenge to your investments. Are we done with those challenges, or do you think what we saw today, we're going to see continue of the tech trade under pressure?
Well, I don't know how long this rotation will continue. All I do know is that we have a five-year time horizon, and all of our price targets are 5 years out. A few days ago, I would have told you that the returns that we're expecting, now we could be wrong, these are our estimates, so consider the source, but the compound annual rate of return that we were expecting for our portfolios during the next 5 years was 15%. Which is our minimum hurdle rate of return. As of today, just given the last few days of correction, that is closer to 20%. Now, 15% compound annual rate of return over 5 years is a doubling over 5 years.
Right.
That's a healthy return. What happens very short term, I can't tell you. All I know is we are keeping our eyes on the prize, and the prize just got a little bit more interesting.
But I have to ask you, were you kind of secretly rooting for a little bit of a pullback to kind of get some of the performance chasing money out of the market?
Well, I do believe we love a wall of worry, and we were seeing the wall of worry start to build. I saw it on social media, a lot of chatter, some just waiting for our funds in particular to take a tumble. some maybe to buy, and some happy to sell and short and all of that. We love the liquidity that this provides us. We think it's very healthy, a very healthy shakeout. But I'll give you a sense of where I, in history, I felt this way before. In 1996, we were in a very interesting market. Alan Greenspan was the Fed chairman. And he, at the time, warned all of us against irrational exuberance. And many investors were just beginning to understand how the internet was working and, you know, what the interesting applications were going to be. We had another 4 years of a move, which when you think about that time, that move was too much capital chasing too few stocks too quickly. The technologies weren't ready. The costs were way too high for most of what we're seeing today. But all the seeds for what we're investing in were planted back then. So we've had 15 to 20 to 25 years of gestation of these seeds, and now they're starting to flourish, and we are ready from a technology point of view and from a cost point of view. That's so important to see that electric vehicle costs come down so that by this time, maybe in a year or two, the sticker price of the average electric vehicle will be below that of the average gas-powered vehicle. Yeah, and by 2025, the average electric vehicle price will be $18,000, and the Toyota Camry will still be at $25,000, $26,000. Wow. No brainers.
Yeah.
Hey, Kathy, I got to ask. So much money is pouring into your funds. South Korean retail investors literally give you a nickname, Money Tree. In terms of money, does it ever become too much that's pouring into your funds?
Well, what I've always said when we've been asked the capacity question is that if we are right and the five platforms that involve 14 different technologies are ready for prime time, if not already in the sweet spot of their S-curve, then our capacity should grow exponentially with those platforms. Now, what happened to us in the last year was not exponential, but parabolic growth in terms of the flows. And it's been very gratifying, and we're so happy that more and more investors are diversifying into innovation. They need to hedge against all of the value traps that innovation is going to create. But we do believe that given the swoosh we had this year, we will need a little time to have the capacity come our way. How is it coming our way? Well, you see, because of the performance of stocks like those in our portfolios, we're seeing a significant number of IPOs, secondaries. Mm-hmm. There's the SPAC revolution. There's a SPAC revolution. And if you think about what happened even last year, so our flagship fund was up around 150%. That meant that our capacity went up 150%. If you look at our performance for the past 5 years, our performance of the flagship fund is up 1,000%. So that means our capacity is up 1,000%. And if we're right and we're still on these exponential growth trajectories, we should continue to find good capacity going forward.
So I'm also curious about, you know, some of the positions you have, and I'm sure you've been asked about this before, Kathy, but, you know, I'm just looking at some of our research that you guys are already a 10% holder in, I think, more than 20 companies and a 20% holder in three. And forgive me if my math's a little bit off, but I mean, is that, do you get nervous about that level of concentration? I mean, some investment managers would say so. How do you feel about that?
Yes, well, we've put in risk controls to prevent, again, some of that happened because of the swoosh.
Right, very fair enough.
We put in risk controls so that, so that we will not be considered, quote unquote, an affiliate of any of these companies. That's, we want to be on the right side of regulation. And so you will see fewer and fewer names over 15%, let's say, going forward, especially as many of our companies are issuing are doing secondaries, mm-hmm. importantly. And the reason they need to do them is often in the world of disruptive innovation, and particularly because of artificial intelligence. The companies that invest the most aggressively today are going to have a higher probability of winning winner-take-most markets, like I just described, autonomous taxi networks. And so they have to fund. You know, last quarter, Tesla did another $5 billion in equities. And so, again, bringing more capacity. It is doing so well, though, that we think it will not have to do much more in the form of equity or fixed income funding in the future.
This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Kathy, one story we saw play out in 2020 was the so-called Robinhood revolution, the rise of the retail trader. What do you think of young people getting involved in the market right now? What do you think of the access that they have on an app like Robinhood that makes it really easy and frictionless to buy, sell, and trade?
You know what? I think it's wonderful. Many people worried about, especially during the GameStop controversy, worried, you know, was the little guy going to get hurt? If a person doesn't know enough about options or equities at all and is just following the crowd, it wasn't going to take long for them to learn a very important lesson. And so I think many have learned very important lessons. What is happening now, I think, is delightful for a couple of reasons. I remember when there was no Robinhood and when social media was not much of a big thing, getting my children interested in investing in equities was very difficult, very difficult. Now, while some people may argue that it's gamifying the space, it also teaches investors lessons very quickly. So a lot of individuals who moved into GameStop or AMC or Bed Bath & Beyond, all of the usual suspects, they learned that they weren't on the right, those companies are not on the right side of change. And there was, that there was going to be a significant correction. So I think corrections are a good, they keep us all humble and keep us all focused on what could go wrong. They create a wall of worry, which the strongest bull markets I've been in are built on top of walls of worry. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that there are more concerns now about valuations, about inflation, about interest rates. I like the fact that there are these worries, but I also like the fact that the markets are moving through this pretty
feel like efficiently almost.
Very efficiently. If you looked at the trading in ARK's ETFs this today and yesterday, I think if we had told market makers and authorized participants and ETF providers generally that we were going to see 35 to 40 million shares of our flagship fund trade in one day,
right.
They would have said, okay, that would blow up the system. It didn't. It was very efficient. I know, and there's options trading around our funds as well.
Right.
And the only thing I will say there as a note of caution is we do have a five-year time horizon. Options options players do not, and you can get hurt badly, especially given our time horizon.
Which is great for the retail investors. We only have a few minutes left, so I'm going to kind of do a little rapid fire with you and go through some things. There is a question coming in from Twitter who says, how does Kathy quantify risk in emerging tech and differentiate them from the rockets that just take off? Just quickly, your thoughts on that. How do you do that?
Yeah. Well, we use Wright's Law. We center our research on something called Wright's Law, which says for every cumulative doubling in the number of units produced, costs decline at a consistent rate. So we watch it for those companies that are creating the technologies and make sure that they are riding down the cost curve so that they're finding new sources of demand as they go forward. There are some companies that try and milk the technology. We saw Illumina try to do this over the last 4 years, and they've lost the plot, and other sequencing players are starting to encroach upon their territory. They're still very strong, but they should have continued riding down that cost curve aggressively. Competition comes very quickly. So
right.
Those in the lead need to keep driving the competition.
I got to get your thoughts on Bitcoin right now. What are you thinking? We just got notice that Square bought $170 million worth of Bitcoin in the most recent quarter. Thoughts on Bitcoin?
Yes. Yes, we're very positive on Bitcoin. Again, very happy to see a healthy correction here. No market is straight up. Everyone should know that. Everyone should have some dry powder for days like these. And I've been saying that for a while. We see so many use cases of Bitcoin, but
yeah.
Probably the most important use case is an insurance policy around the world against confiscation of wealth. And that can happen in two ways. It can happen with inflation. Bitcoin, I think, is the best hedge against inflation. Out there, bar none, better than gold, and it can happen outright. I mean, when you saw in the Middle East a prince take or seize his own relative's wealth,
right.
Everyone should know, if you think there's a 5% chance of that happening, you should put 5% of your portfolio long-term into something like Bitcoin. You can carry the keys in your head across the border.
Right. You think about, right, in terms of what that allows you. Hey, your big ideas for 2021. We've been talking about it a lot off air ourselves. 112 pages. It's on the website. What are the big ideas, Kathy, that we need to be thinking about for 2021?
Well, the new ideas, big ideas are not just one idea. So we've updated our deep learning, digital wallets, Bitcoin, EV ride hailing, some of the things with our drone work, our sequencing, long read sequencing. Our new sections are called reinventing the data center. We think Intel's is going to lose most of its share in the data center, and that's its most profitable division. Virtual worlds, so gaming and sports gambling, gaming becoming moving away from just the pure gaming world, but with platforms like Unity and Unreal networks like Epic, we're going to be bringing virtual worlds into everyday business. Of course, virtual reality, augmented reality. We are getting to the point where that is viable.
Yeah.
Orbital aerospace is another one, the space race. We're very excited by that.
Kathy, we could talk to you forever, and we shouldn't point out there's ARK swag, and I know 100% is donated to charity, so you guys thinking about the broader community as well. Kathy Wood, thank you so much. Always appreciate it. Be well. Kathy Wood, she's CEO, Chief Investment Officer, and founder of ARK Invest on the phone from Connecticut.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.